Welcome to Revcast, the Civilization podcast focused on its console platforms. I'm Joe B. Reeves.
Dan Q.
Barry Funnell.
Barry, do you want to become a co-host on Revcast?
I might be a little busy.
Hello and welcome to episode 11. My name is Joe Reeves, the regular co-host. Joining me is executive producer at Firaxis, Barry Caudill.
Hi there.
And also with me is Dan Quick, the interim regular co-host for the CivRev podcast.
You know, you can say podcast constantly, but if you say casting pod, it just doesn't have the same effect now, does it?
We cast our pods, a broad net of pods. Today we're going to be discussing CivRev for the iPhone.
And the iPod Touch, yeah.
Yep.
And Schmastic.
It's a shame all our listeners out there aren't enjoying the iPhone and iPod Touch that Firaxis kindly provided both of us. It was really kind of you guys. And
I got the new 64-gig one. Which one did you get, Dan?
Oh, man. I knew I should have been more specific in my request.
Yeah. The Apple conference talking about new iPods with the faster processors, and I guess they're doing a 64-gig one now. And Apple themselves actually stated that afterwards, I don't think Jobs necessarily said it within the show itself, but he said that he wants this to be a gaming machine. So it looks to me like Firaxis has taken the correct step here.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. Barry, do you have a Twitter?
I'm not a Twitter guy. I don't think anybody wants to know that I'm back in my office.
Dan, do you have a Twitter?
No, I don't. I was applauding Barry for not having a Twitter.
Yeah, I don't have a Twitter.
Why an iPhone iPod Touch port of Civilization Revolution, and why now?
I mean, there's a lot to that. I think the key reason that it was even possible is because Sid had the wonderful idea when he started making Civ Revolution that the game core would sort of be system agnostic. Like, it doesn't know or care what system it's on. Basically, when we made the Xbox 360, the PS3, and the DS versions, that was all sharing the same game core, and we just had to wrap a different presentation layer around it. So the fact that he did that in the first place opened up the opportunity to do it. I mean, there's no question that a lot of us here and a lot of the people at 2K, we've all sort of been converted over to the iPhone. So I'm not saying it's the greatest, you know, email device that's out there. I'm not saying it's the greatest phone. But what I can say is it's probably the single greatest gadget I've ever held in my entire life. The sheer amount of stuff that it does, it just felt like a natural fit. And the funny thing was, is it really wasn't on our radar to do ourselves, but there's a 2K Shanghai studio that does a lot of work for us. They do a lot of art outsourcing, programming, things like that. And Steve Martin and I just happened to be out in California for a meeting at 2K. And we finished our meeting and we thought we were getting ready to leave. And the guys were like, oh, no, you got to come into this other meeting. I said, oh, okay. So we go into this other conference room, and guys from Shanghai are sitting there, and okay, so what's up? And basically they had CivRev running on an iPhone emulator on a laptop after maybe a couple weeks worth of work by one programmer. They dropped it in our lap. They just said, hey, look what we did. And we were like, oh, that's amazing. So we kept a lot of the design changes, the interface stuff here, but as far as like changing the art, making the presentation layer, you know, getting the engine together, that was all Shanghai's doing.
Wow. Let me throw the next question out there because it kind of leads into it, and I got to throw a NeoGAF shout out out there. It's a pretty strong forum within the gaming community, and I was floating around there, and I saw that CivRev was released for the iPhone. I was stunned. I thought, oh, how come I hadn't heard of this? There wasn't any real lead up to it. It just kind of showed up on the App Store. There didn't seem to be a push for it. Do you know why that approach was taken? Why it just kind of said, okay, here's your game?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a different type of marketplace. I don't think you find many iPhone games where there's a whole long marketing push that leads up to it. I was talking to Kelly, who's our marketing director today, and it just feels like there's so many apps already, you know, not just games, but apps in general. I mean, there's thousands of apps already out there, and it seems like there's a lot of noise I think we kind of realized that we weren't going to be able to cut through the noise by doing a whole lot of magazine articles or things like that because, you know, we didn't really have a whole lot to show up until later. And then once it's later, magazine lead times, especially in this country, are such that you can't get stuff in 6-8 weeks to get stuff into the print. And this is after the fact. Like, I didn't have anything to do with the decision, but this is why I think it's right, because I look at the way I find stuff on my phone, and basically what I do is every day at some point I go into the App Store, I look at what's hot, what's featured, you know, what's new, what's in the top 25. So if there's so many apps that there's so much noise, it's really quiet if you're in the top 10. So it was our goal to have a game that was strong enough to be in that top 10, top 25, and to stay there for a long time, which it's done, thankfully, for us. It's just a different marketplace, and I think that the guys did a really great job of hitting the marketplace the right way.
There's just a real fascination. It's once people realized it was there, it was the same excitement. I guess this goes hand in hand with what you just said. It was the same excitement of knowing that a Civilization game was going to be available for the consoles, but here's your game also. Not
right.
only do you have the excitement of knowing that, well, this might happen. Well, here's the game. You can be excited about it and just play the darn thing.
Exactly.
The iPhone iPod Touch version of CivRev has been understandably compared to the Nintendo DS version. With that as a baseline, what are the similarities and differences between the two?
The similarities are, like I said, it's game core-wise, it's the same game that Sid wrote, which is development really easy as far as somebody else doing the actual presentation work. The differences, though, is that there's a more powerful processor, I think, and there's a better graphics chip. We definitely went in and tried to change the art, up-res the art. We up-res the map because I think the original prototype that we saw when we went to that meeting with Shanghai was basically DS art. And the problem is once you look at that on the iPhone screen compared to other things, it certainly didn't hold up as well. So we wanted to make sure everything was brighter, popped off the screen a little bit more, things like that. And then the other thing that's really different is that the DS has touchscreen, and I'm a huge fan of the DS and the PSP, actually, so I do play a lot of handheld stuff. It's touchscreen, but it's a single-point touchscreen, whereas the iPhone has gesture support, which I think is one of the things that really sets it apart. Something where you touch something with the stylus on the DS, you're touching it with your finger on the iPhone, and you start realizing, like, wow, my finger blocks that. You know, that's not good. How do I make it so that it's a nice big chunky button that I want to touch, but I don't lose it while I'm touching it? You know, so there was a lot of that kind of talk. Making it really feel like it's supposed to live on the iPhone.
Do you miss the top screen, though?
In a way, yes. If I was doing the best of both worlds, it would be a DS setup with the iPhone screen.
Dual screen iPhone.
Right. Steve, where's Steve Jobs? Is he listening? Because I want a clamshell iPhone. Just tell him.
I can call him. He and I are like this.
I can't see your fingers, so I believe you.
No, you're absolutely right. You cannot see my fingers. And you know not what you don't see. I agree. I think the DS top screen is a wonderful addition. But once you look at the clarity of the iPhone or iPod screen, the differences are striking. You just get this sharpness that's just not available on the DS. And not to take anything away from the DS, because it's sitting in your pocket. What do you want?
Yeah. The thing about the DS is that there's just so many wonderful games that are out there that it's always going to have a place in my bag when I'm traveling.
People have been complaining about interface and menu problems, it sounds like, just looking at some of the boards. And we kind of went through it in the last question, talking about the size of the screen being dealt with. Mm-hmm. It's not really surprising that notable changes had to be made, taking advantage of the touch capability and the dual touch capability. How did you change your game to take advantage of those design elements? And what do you suggest to people who are having frustrations with some of those interface problems?
It's funny because I saw the question and I was actually surprised because I really didn't feel like the interface was something that people were really complaining about. I guess I need to get out more.
It might not necessarily be complaints, but it might just be, wow, is this different?
Yeah, that's for sure.
It might just be, oh boy, I want the stylus, or oh boy, I want a stick.
Yeah.
And the difference between an iPhone and an iPod and a DS and a 360.
Mm-hmm. it was a really good time for us because we didn't have to do a lot of the actual work, get it running. But Shanghai was really good about the whole, you know, not the whole city, but 2K Shanghai. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
They were really good about involving us and making sure that we were happy with things. I think that things that we've learned that we could certainly take to the next game, but it was a great, cool, creative time to be able to sit with these people and bounce ideas and figure stuff out and then watch the 2K Shanghai people, like, put it in.
I noticed you said something about next game, so let's talk about that now. I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep trying. Just want to hear Civ Rev 2, and then we can just move on.
You're like pit bulls or something. I don't know.
I don't know much about iPhone app pricing myself, but I know that 99 cents seems to be the starting price for just about everything on there. You might see a couple bucks thrown around here and there. CivRev started out at $4.99, and now right now it's sitting at $9.99, and it obviously makes it one of the higher priced games on the service. How did you come up with the price, and do you have any indication of how well the light version has been downloading?
I used to get some updates on that stuff, but I really don't know how the light version is going. I will tell you that CivRev is actually at $4.99, number 20 on the top 25 as I look right now. I know that just over at the Labor Day weekend in the States, we actually ran a special for the 3 days where it was down at $2.99, which was, I think, an excellent deal, since I had to pay $4.99 for mine. So, pricing is one of those things I think that's still being worked out on the iPhone, and I think that you have to be able to stand out. For the longest time, we were sitting at number two, and there was this 99-cent camera thing that was above us that was only getting, like, three-star reviews and stuff like that. And I was like, good, you just get out of the way. And it apparently it did. There was a couple times over an evening, overnight on the East Coast, where it actually went to number one. But then the next morning when I got up, it was at number two again. But, you know, like I said, I think that's just the key to cutting through the noise of how many – the sheer volume of apps and games and stuff is to be someplace where somebody is always going to see you. And I think that's the answer. Just be in that top 25 if you can, you know, finding ways to keep people interested in the game. Felt like we wanted to really bring this type of strategy game to the iPhone just like we did to the consoles. Before somebody does something like Civ, let's just give them Civ.
Yeah. Jobs said the other day that the iPhone needs to be a gaming machine, and look at all the games we have. We have 21,000 games. The problem with that is that Joe Reeves, I could put a game on there and sell it for 99 right. cents.
Sure.
In a sea of Joe Reeves games and Magic 8-Balls and balance games and just stuff, you know, just this conglomeration of 99 cent stuff, you do have to tend to try and stand out. I can't imagine how difficult that would be to say, oh, my gosh, I hope we stay up in the top 20. I just hope we stay up in the top 20.
Marketing and sales and PR, there's much, much better people that really understand that stuff, and we'll just stick to what we do, which is making games.
You know, one of the things you can do is do a podcast with two nerds and talk about the game.
That's right.
So if you get a chance to do that, I would say take advantage of it.
Every time.
You can be the nerd, Joe. I'm the geek.
Okay. My geekiness is getting in the way of my nerdiness.
Certainly download numbers is not going to be indicative of how good or bad something is, really. You said that there was this camera thing that was getting 3-star rating and above you. That's because people are like, it's that crappy? No way. I want to see this. I'll see how crappy it is. So they're downloading, and they're keeping the numbers inflated.
I mean, 99 cents is like that magic point on the iPhone. And I can tell you this from how I do stuff. Sometimes if something sounds vaguely interesting, it's 99 cents. It's like the buck. And the thing is that those apps, like this camera app, was actually trying to provide something that people felt should have been in the camera thing. Anyway, it was camera zoom. Never mind that it's kind of pixelated.
Bigger.
Yeah. For 99 cents, I'll see if it works.
Yeah.
You know, if they raise the price to a dollar, then it's a big, round, scary number, and then it's not popular anymore.
Just had 9909. There was a bunch of articles about the number 9, and it's a magical number. If you tell somebody that something's $99, it's way less than 100. You know, if you say 99 cents, way less than a dollar. So in a base 10 system, it's a wonderful number to have.
Like I said, my geekiness is getting in the way of my nerdiness.
Information about RevCast, sibling shows Polycast and Modcast, or about Polycast in general, log onto the series' official website at thepolycast.net. Record date, September 11th, 2009.
Civilization Revolution Sounds Clips, copyright Take Two Interactive.
Copyright 2009, Civilized Communication at civcom.net.